Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Should churches meet or not? That's a question we want to address. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. The question that is on people's mind is, should churches meet or not? And Holly, sometimes people come to the immediate conclusion that all churches should close. I want to talk through a little bit more perspective on this. As you know, we represent the River Church at Tampa Bay, and that's a place in which the pastor was arrested. However, he was arrested after the sheriff gave them a green light to meet. Then the same sheriff arrested him a few days later. The church took extraordinary efforts to protect the health and safety of people, including reducing the size of the sanctuary and enforcing a 6-foot restriction. But the problem that we have, Holly, in asking the question or even answering the question is everybody looks at whether or not they and their church can just simply flip a switch and go online. And for many of you, yes, that is an option.
And, you know, we've had a lot of pastors call and ask, I'm not sure what to do. I want our church to meet, but I don't want to violate the law. But what, you know, and so they're in a quandary as well.
And understand there's about 500,000 churches across the country.
Right.
And those churches are small, medium, large. Some churches.
Mega, yeah.
I mean, they're huge. Some churches are various demographics, elderly, perhaps more young, a mixture, minority communities. They're all over.
Still home churches, you know, so.
There's home churches, there's small churches.
All
there are
varieties.
All kinds of churches. So, and I'm not even talking about home churches. I'm talking about churches that meet in a physical building. I'm talking about 500,000 or so. Mm-hmm. Those may be storefront churches from there all the way to mega churches. And then obviously you have home churches. No question about that. That even is more. But for every one of those churches, they have different functions or needs that they meet in the community. And they may be different than your community. You have online, or perhaps many of you do have online. Millions of people in the country don't have online, so that's not an option. Your church may be able to just flip a switch and do online. Fine. And that's good. No problem. I'm not criticizing that. But there are other churches that have an essential ministry that cannot be duplicated online. Listen, I worked with people for many years who were injured. I know what it's like for people to have intractable pain. That's pain that just never goes away. Maybe some of you have experienced that yourself.
Or your wife Anita's parents, who are elderly. They live in a kind of remote area. They don't have good online service.
No, they couldn't do
online. So they're by themselves if their church is not meeting.
They couldn't do online. I know that there are people, say, for example, like I was speaking about, that have pain when it comes up to a holiday, whether it's Good Friday, Easter, whatever it may be. They literally are grasping for the opportunity to get into their chiropractor, their physical therapist, mm-hmm. their pain management person the day before the 3-day weekend so they can survive through that 3-day weekend because they have this kind of pain that never goes away. All of those places, by and large, have closed down and they don't get that help. Mm-hmm. They live in pain 24/7. I know that that kind of pain can ultimately increase depression and even suicide. I've seen it. I've been there. I know that because I've worked with so many people that have gone through that. These people need some kind of help, perhaps even a person to call, perhaps someone to deliver a meal because they can't go out. Look, there's a lot of things that churches do. The church that we represent in this situation in Tampa feeds 900 people a week.
Families, yeah.
You can't flip that online.
No.
Your church may not feed 900 families a week. This church does. Others feed even more. Or they house more people, or they provide counsel for those people who are on the verge of suicide, depression, loneliness, and so many other things. And when the churches close across the country, all 500,000, for example, because someone says, as a knee-jerk reaction. You ought to close, because to open, you're risking the health of people.
And, you know, right now, many people have lost their jobs, so they would turn to the church for help. You know, not the government, but the church, to be able to help, you know, get them through this time.
Right. And right now, there are people that have, like you said, lost their jobs. They don't know where the next meal's coming from. Right. These are people in addition to what the church was already doing to
feed
normally, people.
Yeah.
These are people that now are looking for their next meal.
Right.
These are people now looking for some money to help them through. These are people that need some counsel. These are people that need somebody to speak to. You know, there's a lot of things that churches do that are so essential that when the churches are closed, or when that particular church is closed, the community groans in its absence.
And, you know, now people are forced at home. There's going to be increase in suicide, abuse, things like that, where people need to go to the church for help, for counseling, for some kind of protection.
Certainly there's rights to meet. I'm not talking just about rights. You've got a constitutional right under the First Amendment to have free exercise of religion. You also have a constitutional protection that the government cannot just simply close down the church. That's different than, say, a Home Depot or any other commercial business that doesn't have the same right to meet. But I'm talking in addition to constitutionality that doesn't just simply evaporate in a time of an emergency or crisis. I'm talking about essential ministry of the church that's more needed in a time of crisis than at any time. And when the church's doors are automatically closed because we have this blanket mentality that all churches should close, and if they don't, they're putting people at risk, many people are hurt. So we ought to at least consider, give to the shepherds of the church, the shepherds of the flock. Give them a little bit of discretion. Yes, there are health guidelines to follow. No, I have no knowledge of any shepherd that wants to hurt the sheep. Why would a pastor or a church even think that way? And we cannot just simply assume that they're reckless and therefore they're going to hurt the sheep. No pastor, no church leadership that I know wants to hurt the sheep and wants to hurt the community.
Just like this pastor in Florida. I mean, he took extra.
Yeah,
above
the guidelines
the board
he followed were amazing.
To protect his people, because he loves his people. He loves his sheep.
Yeah, they did the 6-foot distancing. They moved the chairs out to reduce the size of the sanctuary. They had their staff wear gloves. They did the hand sanitizer as everyone entered. They purchased over $100,000 of high grade hospital air purifiers that are designed to ultimately cleanse the air of different microbes of the influenza or even coronavirus families.
They really sat down and took a strategy for this, you know, and to do appropriate measures.
They did more than I can imagine any other business doing what this church did. And then they got the green light from the sheriff, who then changed his mind and did this circus of a press conference. Look, let's look beyond our own situation, even our own church situation. And like I said, maybe your church can and maybe it should just go online. That's not a decision I'm going to make. I can't make that decision unless I know all the facts and circumstances of that specific situation. But again, there are churches that cannot carry on their essential call, their essential function, their essential ministry online. So let's give a little bit of discretion, how about it, to people, pastors, shepherds, to be able to look at their community, their ability, their inability, for example, to do something, their ability to do other things. Let's give them a little bit of guidance in terms of protecting health and welfare. And we've got some of those guidance from different health organizations. Churches are able to follow that, and if they can't, maybe they ought to do online. No one should be putting individuals at risk, but if we really believe that church is essential, then we have to rethink what it is that they are doing when they close their doors. On the other hand, we really need to ask the question, are churches essential? I think they're critically essential. Especially at a time of crisis and stress. And by the way, I don't think any government official has the authority with the stroke of a pen to write into existence or out of existence a church by just using one word, whether they're essential or not. We don't want to give that kind of unbelievable broad authority to any single individual, to a local mayor, to a state governor. My goodness, we need to have some more critical thinking about how this process works.
Because once you give it up, Matt, it's not easy to get it back.
It's very hard to get it back. So we all need to pray, obviously, against this virus. We do that all the time, and I encourage you to do. Pray for peace. Look at the scriptures. We have a bookmark that has positive scriptures about peace that comes from the Word of God. And let's pray that the church really is essential, and let's pray that they will have an essential impact in the community and be able to carry on their essential functions. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.